Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls underscore Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley, and we are at Locked On Bulls. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. And of course, that text to voicemail line for you all of the time, round the clock, 24 hours a day, even in the blizzards of mid-November that Chicago sports fans are enduring right now. 331-979-1369. Hit us up with all of your Bulls and NBA thoughts, inquiries, questions, comments, and we will get to them in our weekly mailbag episodes. As I said, I am Matt Peck, Jordan off today. He had some great content for you at the back end of the last week while I was out of town. If you didn't listen yet to his episode with Tony Gill of 670 The Score and the No Zones podcast, you should definitely go listen to that. It's a great episode. And a few things that I wanted to get to on today's show. Honestly, I don't really want to talk about the Rockets' loss because there really wasn't a whole lot there. It was a pretty obvious result based on my expectations for that game. The Bulls hung with the Rockets for a little while, and I guess small kudos to them for not getting blown out immediately. But the Bulls lost to a better team with two MVP caliber players on their roster. That's it. Instead, I wanted to spend today's episode talking about the Lakers' loss, Jim Boylan's comments after that loss, because I did not get to give my thoughts on that game as I was off on the back half of last week. And then also look ahead to this upcoming matchup against the Knicks. Second game against the Knicks this season, Tuesday night, this one at home. Hopefully the Bulls can avenge that disgusting loss to the Knicks earlier this season when Bobby Portis had his revenge game and the Bulls coughed up an 18-point lead to a terrible team. And also look at some of these comments that we saw from the Knicks executives after they got embarrassed on their home floor by the not all that impressive Cleveland Cavaliers team. And the fact that it looks like the Knicks front office is already getting themselves in line to fire their head coach, Dave Fizdale, and use him as the fall guy for their terrible start to their season. So, before we get to that, however, this loss to the Lakers. I mean, I was livid when it happened, and now having been removed from it for several days, I am just kind of looking back on it laughing. But it's a disgusted kind of laughter. I'm not as, you know, heated as I was after it happened, but it still is just so baffling when you look back to see exactly what happened there. And the fact that once again, despite the concerns Bulls fans have about this roster, Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen both underperforming and dealing with the issue that the two players who are supposed to be the best players on this team have some of the worst net ratings on the roster so far. And that, as some of us feared, despite the talk and the optimism about both Markkanen and LaVine becoming better defensive players, both of their defensive numbers so far this season are really, really bad. But to me, that is something that can be fixed, something that can be improved. Because if you look at the numbers, the Bulls are actually getting a lot of open looks, and they're just missing them. some people wondering, is it the offensive system that's the problem, or are players just missing open shots? I think right now I still want to hold on to the fact that the Bulls' offense can improve if players just start to shoot better than they are, better than what we expected them to do, because LaVine and Markkanen are just two of many players on this roster who are just struggling to knock down open shots right now. So to me, that's a concern for, you know, when we get 20 or 30 games into the season. If that's still going on, then that's something we could talk about. But in the meantime, to me, the biggest issue with a lot of these losses that have already piled up, as the Bulls sit here 3-7, 10 games in, is the decisions or the lack of decision-making from their head coach, Jim Boylan. The Lakers loss was the latest example of that. The Bulls had a double-digit lead heading into the fourth quarter. Seemed to be, to all of our surprise, outplaying the top team of the Western Conference, led by LeBron James and Anthony Davis, on both ends of the floor. And we had to sit there and watch as a 13-point lead turned into a 3-point deficit less than 4 minutes into the fourth quarter. And at the back end of that run, Boylan made a couple of switches, but he did not call a timeout until after that 16-0 Lakers run to start the fourth quarter, which basically just wiped out the Bulls' chances of winning. As the Lakers went on that run, you could sense that the Bulls had just taken the punch and not gotten back up. And I had no confidence that the Bulls were going to win that game when they went into halftime with the lead they did. I had no confidence the Bulls were going to win that game when they went into the fourth quarter with the lead that they did. Because Jim Boylan. The Lakers just absolutely dismantling the Bulls, and Jim Boylan sitting on the sidelines and watching it happen. Not putting his starters back in earlier when he absolutely could have. Not calling a timeout to get his guys in a huddle and say, okay, here's how we're going to withstand this punch. Figured the Lakers, especially once they crept in a little bit and then put LeBron back in the game to say, oh, this is a winnable game. We shouldn't just sit LeBron for this fourth quarter and say, on to the next. Okay, timeout. Here's the game plan. Here's how we're going to execute. Here's how we're going to stave off this run, keep this lead, and win this game. Also, give his guys a breather. Thad Young in particular, who Boylan has loved closing games down the stretch in you know, their back half of their first 10 games, was gassed. He was huffing and puffing as the Lakers went on that run. And yet, Boylan left him in there, didn't call a timeout. And we had to sit there and watch it happen. Because Boylan sat there and watched it happen. And then after the game, when the question, of course, from the collective Bulls media was, so about that run the Lakers made in the fourth quarter and about you not changing up your rotation, about you not calling a timeout until the damage was done and the game had been lost. Boylan sat there defiantly saying, nah, I didn't think about it. Didn't think about putting my starters back in earlier. I'm developing 15 guys on this roster, and the guys on the back end of that roster, that second unit, they have to learn how to win. They have to deal with it. They have to figure it out for themselves. And so that's why I left them in there. And then about not calling a timeout, we have to listen to Jim Boylan say, well, you know, a timeout was on my heart and it was on my mind. But I, you know, you can't tell me that a timeout is going to do things like getting a proper box out on a missed free throw, and a timeout's not going to do this, a timeout's not going to do that. That's completely illogical. Maybe if you give yourself a timeout to not only regroup, gives your guys some advice on how to close this game, maybe make a substitute or two, but also give the guys who are on the floor a few seconds to catch their goddamn breath. Maybe then they'd have the energy to box out and get a rebound when they need one. to say that there's no connection to calling a timeout and the way that things exploded on the Bulls at the end of the at the beginning of that fourth quarter is ludicrous. It's insulting. It's dumb. It's insulting the to the intelligence of Bulls fans who know basketball and understand the timeouts are there for you to use them. How is it that we still have to talk about Jim Boylan not knowing how to use timeouts? He doesn't have them when he needs them. He doesn't take them when he has them. And then he defiantly sits there postgame and says, no, I'm doing this because I need to develop all 15 guys on this roster. Okay, no. You, your bosses, and a number of your players sat there at media day a month ago and said, our goal is to make the playoffs. And you just coughed up a win. A win that would have put a lot more faith into your players buying into the system, put a lot more faith into the fan base, believing that this team has what it takes to be competitive in this league by beating the best team in the Western Conference with two of the best players in the league. And instead, you decided to prove a point, and it was a dumb point. It's a point that doesn't make sense to say, I got to develop guys. No, Jim, your job is to fucking win basketball games. And you took a route that led to doing the exact opposite of that. You had a win in the bag, and you gave it up to prove a dumb point. And it's gross, and I don't know how much longer I can sit there and watch these fourth quarter collapses. It's ugly when they do it against bad teams and mediocre teams. It's even more frustrating when you actually have a winnable game against a good, above average, some say championship favorite kind of competitor. A win against the Lakers would have done so much to turn the rough start to this season around, and you gave it away to prove a point about developing all 15 guys on your roster? Give me a break. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is sort of a piggyback topic off of that collapse against the Lakers and Jim Boylan's decision to sit there and do nothing and watch it happen. Because then, after we heard from Jim Boylan, we had to hear from some of the players, give their thoughts on the collapse and the loss. And we heard some interesting comments from players like Thad Young, one of the captains of this team, and Wendell Carter Jr., who in just his second season is already emerging as a vocal leader in that locker room. But the most interesting comments to me came from the guy who's supposed to be the best player and theoretically one of the leaders of this team. Said in his interview with Zach Lowe for the Low Post podcast that he, along with Markkanen, are the players who round out the leadership committee with Thad and Otto to be the leaders of this team. Zach LaVine had some pretty interesting comments after the Lakers loss. He said, quote, "We tried to come in and stop the bleeding, but it was too late. You want to jump in the game, you got to wait. There are substitution patterns. That's not my job." Zach continued, "It's been our MO for the last couple of years. We haven't won games in the fourth quarter. We have to learn how to finish. Some of that is on us." Now, as we have watched the Bulls collapse in multiple fourth quarters already in this young season, some of it is on Zach and his teammates. A lack of offensive execution down the stretch, including Zach making some poor decisions, Zach playing too much isolation ball, the ball sticks, the Bulls are forced into bad shots, and they also are guilty of being exposed in their transition defense, being exposed in their half-court defense. Yes, the players bear some responsibility for these fourth quarter collapses, some of them happening throughout their season last year and some already this season. But he said about the wanting to come back in, by the time we came back in, it was too late. And he said there are substitution patterns. That's not my job. That's clearly a shot at Jim Boylan. And when he talks about, We have to learn how to finish games. Some of that is on us. Notice some of that, not that's on us. Some of that is on us. Clearly another shot at Jim Boylan. Because while this young Bulls team, there is some truth to, you know, quote unquote, learn how to win. Young teams struggle with that as they are developing into competitive teams. Young teams tend to have mental blunders and mistakes down the stretch of close games that put them on the losing side of such contests. And that has been a problem for Zach and some of his teammates. However, if you were to say, if you were to ask me, and I'm guessing if you were to take a poll among Bulls fans, who is more responsible for the Bulls coughing up significant leads down the stretch of, what, three or four games already through 10? Who's more responsible, the players or Jim Boylan? My answer is Jim Boylan, and I bet most Bulls fans would be with me. Because of his rotations, because of his inability to manage timeouts, because of his stubbornness and his insistence on teaching and developing these young players, and that being a greater emphasis than winning basketball games. When you said the goal was to be a playoff team, you got to win games to get to the playoffs, Jim. And so this, to me, is the most interesting part about that collapse against the Lakers. Yeah, cool. We beat a bad Hawks team in the second night of a back-to-back. You could call it a bounce-back win, I guess. And then you get blown out by the Rockets, whatever. I think everybody expected that to happen. But the Lakers' collapse could come back to be something that was an initial sign of Boylan re-losing his locker room. If he ever actually gained their trust or regained their trust to begin with. Because we had to hear about, oh, you know, this great relationship that LaVine and Boylan have developed. And Boylan went and spent time with all of his various players and all of their various off-season destinations and locations, and is bonding with his players, and his players are starting to really believe that he cares about them. Yada, yada, yada. Okay, well, that's all well and fine. And speaking of fines, oh, yeah, Zach LaVine offered to pay Jim Boylan's fines, so their relationship must be great, right? No. I think these comments from Zach after the Lakers collapse are very indicative of the fact that he does not think Jim is a good coach. Hey, coach, we're losing our lead. Can you put the starters back in? Hey, coach, our second unit out there is just huffing air. Maybe take a timeout. Let us regroup. Maybe mix up your rotations a little bit. No. Nothing Jim Boylan has done should earn trust from his players. They can believe he cares about them and wants to help them succeed, but they can also believe that the guy's a lousy coach. Try hard. Try hard, but fail because you're not qualified. Try hard, and tough love speeches only get you so far. And I don't know. I mean, if I were a Bulls player in that locker room, and I have to listen to Boylan's comments after every game, oh, I'm seeing growth, but at the same time, we're not mentally tough enough. We're not putting enough heart and spirit and energy into these games, and we're losing because we don't care enough and all that crap. Nah, dude, you're getting out-coached every night. And again, I'm not absolving the players of all responsibility, but Boylan is putting his players in a position to lose, not a position to succeed, and then blames them for it. So how much longer will they tolerate it? Boylan also said, his comments after the Lakers game about how, you know, oh, I never yank guys. I've never done that. Asked about why he didn't take his second unit out when they were struggling and coughing up that lead to the Lakers. Well, that's just not true. If you go back and look at the history, Jim Boylan yanked Jabari Parker from his rotation entirely. He yanked all of the starters 2 minutes into the third quarter of that game against Boston last year that led to the worst loss in franchise history and the near player mutiny. So, yes, he has yanked players, most often to prove a point. And Now we had to watch him not yank players to also prove a point? When are we going to be done having to watch Jim Boylan prove points and lose games? I don't know when that day will come, but I am eagerly awaiting the day when Bulls fans no longer have to watch Jim Boylan prove points and lose games. That's not what we signed up for, and that's not the bill of goods that we were sold. It's a joke. So how much longer until this Bulls roster and collection of players have decided that they have had enough of Jim Boylan's try hard, rah, rah, when we lose, I'm blaming you for not caring enough and trying hard enough. While I sat there as a coach and did nothing and watched our lead disappear over a team that would have meant a very promising win. If I'm a Bulls player in that locker room, I have just about had enough 10 games into the season. And that's why right now, yes, we can be concerned that LaVine's defense is not improved. Yes, we can be concerned with the underwhelming, to put it nicely, performance so far by Lauri Markkanen. But I do not believe that Boylan is putting these guys in positions to succeed. So I'm more judging the coach than judging the performances on the court based on the situation that we see right now. And I am very concerned that at some point this team is going to say, we have had enough. We're not listening to Jim Boylan anymore. This dude is just filled with nothing but pontification bullshit. And then what happens? Because the Bulls have extended this guy's contract in the offseason. We hear constantly that he is the right guy for the job from the likes of John Paxson, Gar Foreman, and Michael Reinsdorf. And then what? If they understand and realize that the players are sick of Boylan's nonsense, but they still think he's the right guy for the job, what do? Rock in a hard place. And if they decide that maybe they don't want to give up on this collection of young players, that's this core that they're building, and maybe what they need is a different coach, then they're admitting that they made a foolish mistake by extending Jim Boylan and thinking that he was the right guy for the job. But this is an organization that, as we all well know, those Bulls fans who pay attention over the years, they have no problem with coaches blaming players, the front office saying the players aren't playing up to their expectations, and for media to point the finger of blame at players. But as soon as media or players or fans start to point their fingers at player point their fingers at people above the players on the hierarchy of the organization, that's when they all say, you be quiet. Zip the lip. It's not an us problem. It's a them problem. It's a you problem. It's a hashtag fake news problem. And that's the crap that Bulls fans are stuck with. Somehow they'll find a way to pin this on the players underperforming. Because right now they really don't want to admit that they mega screwed the pooch by doubling down on Jim Boylan when he did absolutely nothing to earn a contract extension. And that will, in just a second, lead me to my next point about the Knicks who we have visiting on Tuesday. Before we get to the hapless New York Knicks and their inbound game against the Bulls on Tuesday night, I just wanted to give a reminder to all of those diehard Chicago sports fans out there. If you are a listener of Locked On Bulls, first of all, thank you. Appreciate you. If you're looking for more great Chicago sports content in podcast form and you haven't already, go check out the great collection of Locked On podcasts for Chicago sports fans. We have Locked On Cubs with Sean Sears and occasionally Ryan Davis. They do great work. We just recently added Locked On White Sox for all of you Sox and Southside fans out there. It is Herb Lawrence of 670 The Score taking the helm there, and he has done a bang-up job so far. Jay Zawoski, another 670 The Score producer and also host of the Madhouse Hockey podcast that he is still doing in addition, has come on board as the Locked On Blackhawks host. And, of course, Lauren Cox with Locked On Bears for all you football fans out there. Thank God the Bears got a win against a Staffordless Lions team yesterday. That would have put me in a real sour mood, and it probably would have put the final nail in the coffin of the Bears season. What's see if the Bears can get a W on Sunday Night Football against a reeling Rams team. But for all of you sports fans looking for more Locked On content for your Chicago teams, go give all of those shows subscribe and download and listen, because they are great across the board. Now then, on to Bulls Knicks. Are there two franchises more lost and depressing right now? I mean, I don't know. The Knicks just got blown out at home by the Cleveland Cavaliers. They were down a 30-piece at some point. They ended up losing by, I think, like 20 or 22, something like that. But the interesting thing here, and it is an interesting parallel for Bulls fans, based on some of the angry ranting I just did about Jim Boylan and to where the Bulls go from here if he's not the right guy for the job. So after the Knicks got blown out by Cleveland, you had Knicks president Steve Mills and their general manager Scott Perry addressing the media in an impromptu press conference to voice their collective displeasure with the loss that night to Cleveland and the Knicks' start to the season. They're 2-8. One of those wins came by coming back down 18 against our Bulls. So, here is what Mills had to say after that loss. Scott and I are not happy with where we are right now. We think the team is not performing to the level that we anticipated or we expected to perform at, and that's something that we think we collectively have to do a better job of delivering the product on the floor. End quote. Now, most people listened to these comments and thought, this is the Knicks front office getting ready to fire head coach David Fizdale. That's what they're doing here. If you think back to 2003, when John Paxson took over, he held a similar press conference shortly before firing then head coach Bill Cartwright. Writing was on the wall. Writing appears to be on the wall for David Fizdale in New York. And we essentially saw a very not subtle performance from the front office setting Fizdale up to be the fall guy. They are essentially saying the coach and his players are not performing up to expectations. Once again, what was I just saying about the Bulls front office and ownership? Well, this isn't an us problem. It's a you problem. That's what we just heard from the Knicks front office. And they have the choice, they have the opportunity to use Fizdale as the fall guy. This Knicks team is certainly not one of the more talented teams on paper in the NBA right now. Fizdale maybe has some weaknesses as a coach, but he certainly also has some strengths as a head coach in this league and has proven it in stops prior to being the head coach with the Knicks. But are we going to gloss over the fact that this very Knicks front office, after boasting for months, we're getting at least one of, if not both of, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Oh, that's happening. How could they turn down the Knicks in Madison Square Garden and New York City? Well, they didn't turn down New York City. They just went to the other team in Brooklyn. And then, with all this cap space that they thought they were going to use on superstars who, of course, wanted to come to New York, because who wouldn't want to go play for the Knicks, they signed a collection of 15 different power forwards and centers. And their roster is unbalanced, and there were already in training camp leading into preseason games murmurs and complaints about players on the roster unhappy with their spot in the rotation, a lack of minutes, a lack of playing time. And who could have seen that coming when you sign 15 power forwards in the offseason? That's a Knicks front office problem. But here they are going to use Fizdale as their fall guy. It's not our fault that we signed a bunch of guys that can't play together, because more than half of them play the same position. They're not executing, and the coach isn't doing a good enough job coaching them. Not our fault, your fault. A giant finger point from the Knicks front office. Now, we'll see how the team responds and how Fizdale responds in the coming days and the coming weeks before they eventually fire him, which we all know is coming. But when you see something like that happen and you listen to those comments from a front office, as a Bulls fan, you think, wow, okay, would we expect to hear something like that from John Paxson and or Gar Forman? Or, goodness, even Michael Reinsdorf, who rarely gives interviews? After the Bulls' 3-7 start, where they've lost leads and lost to subpar opponents? 3-7 through what was supposed to be a very favorable, very easy start to the season schedule? Was anyone out there expecting John Paxson, Gar Forman, and or Michael Reinsdorf to come out and say, we expected better than this? This is not acceptable. No. No. Because when they occasionally do come to the media and, you know, make the rounds, and we heard a question about accountability at Media Day, and John Paxson and Gar Forman both said, take accountability very seriously. We hold ourselves accountable, and Bulls fans all know that is a giant pile of dog shit. But if they were to come out and say this is unacceptable, wouldn't you totally not be surprised if John Paxson came out and said, we need Zach LaVine to play better. We need Lauri Markkanen to play better. This is not acceptable. This is not up to the standards that we set out for ourselves this season. Because, again, they came out on Media Day and said, playoffs. You're 3-7 against a bunch of lousy competition. But would we this early in the season, even if they had the stones to come out and say this is unacceptable? We know that they would cast stones at their players. But would they cast a stone at Jim Boylan? Like the Knicks front office just threw David Fizdale under the bus. Because if they did, they would be admitting to their own stupidity, thinking that this guy was the right guy for the job. So at what point, how bad do things have to get for the Bulls front office to come out and just address the media to say, this is not okay? And who do they blame other than themselves? Because if they throw Jim Boylan under the bus, again, that's the guy you hired. You fired Fred Hoiberg and said, Boylan is the guy this team needs right now. And then you gave him an extension. And I was just talking about how Zach LaVine, your most important player, theoretically, is already giving quotes after games that the Bulls cough up that they should win about how some of it's on us, parentheses, some of that's Jim's fault, would have loved to get back in that game earlier when the lead was slipping away. There's a substitution rotation. That's not my job. Parentheses, that's Jim's fault. When your best player has gotten sick of the coach's bullshit 10 games into an 82-game season, and you're the front office who insists that this coach is the right coach, what do you say if you go out to the media to address the media and the fan base to say, through 10 games, this is not acceptable, this is not up to what we demand as an organization? Who are you throwing under the bus? Because when it comes to John and Gar, we know that they're not throwing themselves under the bus. They're not falling on their own swords. They never will, never would. Couldn't possibly be their fault and their own incompetence. So they either blame the players or say nothing. Because the likelihood of them blaming Jim and thus admitting bluntly that they fucked up with that hire without a search, well, that makes them look bad, and they don't really, really, really don't like looking bad. Thin skin, all of them. And Bulls fans just have to sit and see what happens next while expecting it to go horribly, horribly wrong. For a season that started with so much optimism, how have we come to this point already? Well, because it's the Bulls. Because it's Reinsdorf, because it's Paxson, because it's Gar, because it's Jim. Happy blizzard, Chicago. That's it. I'm out of here. Hopefully Jordan and I will reunite on tomorrow's show. Maybe take a look at the Rockets game a little bit. I didn't really feel like doing it today. I feel like there were more pressing matters at hand that needed to be discussed because it was a blowout loss to Harden and the Rockets. So maybe we'll dissect that a little bit more tomorrow. In the meantime, keep those Bulls comments and questions coming on that text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. We'll do some mailbag on Wednesday, per usual. Until tomorrow, Bulls Nation, see red, be good. As always, thanks for listening. Take it easy. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com